Okay, I'm about to speak. Please give me all your attention. Our place, Modax.
You should go.
Story. Yeah, I don't have it ready. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'll get it. I'm gonna get it. Okay, my friends, before we begin to learn with Chovetz Talmidim, we have over here a very special guest who's next to me. If he was in yeshiva, I'd throw him out at this moment. Listen, yes, I gotta just put it on the table. Not yet. Rosh Hashem has another commitment and he's going there soon, so you just had to just clarify with them that he will be there hopefully on time. He's gonna stay for the Shmooz, Beis Hashem. This is Rabbi Aryeh Young, and he is here on behalf of an organization called Our Place, organization that's in Brooklyn. He's going to tell you a little bit about it and perhaps about this tremendous, very special event that he is planning, Beis Hashem, and that we are all hopefully going to do our best to attend. Without further ado, we are here. Yeah. Round of applause. Come on, give him a round of applause.
I want to thank Rosh Yeshiva for giving me the opportunity to speak a few minutes before the Shmooz. It means a lot to me personally to give some of his time. I also want to thank Shragi and Ellie for putting this together. And I told the Rosh Yeshiva when I walked in, I said this is like the sixth or seventh yeshiva I've spoken in today, and I have two or three more later this evening and another seven tomorrow before I go to the airplane. But I said the energy in this room was unparalleled and unprecedented of any yeshiva that I've walked into.
Of course!
Not even close. Anyway. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about our place, what we do, why we do it, and then I'm going to take a few minutes to tell you about the event we have coming up. There are flyers floating around. If I could ask you, focus up here for a few minutes, and then we'll go through the flyer together at the end. Our place is an organization which is dealing with an issue in the Frum community that is probably not spoken about enough, and that's the issue of drug and alcohol addiction. In the tri-state area alone, how many hands here from the tri-state area? New York, New Jersey, Connecticut? So in the tri-state area alone, the Frum community loses over 100 neshamos every year to suicide or overdose. 100 young people whose families aren't going to see that young man or young woman or that teen boy or that teen girl come back home. Mishpachas which are destroyed, and young people who had so much potential who aren't going to get another chance. Now, why this machala is affecting Klal Yisrael so much is beyond the scope of the discussion this evening, but I'm telling you that it's a real issue, and it's something which is a tzibur we cannot be blind to. Our place is an organization which tries to attack this issue on three different levels, but with one goal. that young Jewish boys and girls should live another day, live another week, live another month, and another year, until they are sober, healthy human beings. Avad, that's much better when they come back to Yiddishkeit as well, and many do. But our goal is pikuach nefashos. So how do we operate? We have teen drop-in centers, which some of you may have heard of. That's what we're most known for. Where young men and young women, separate centers, both in Flatbush, can come in off the street. They can get a hot meal. We serve 25,000 meals a year. They can shoot pool. They can use the workout room. But most important, that when a kid is ready to get help, they speak to the therapist or the rebbeim who are on site. And they make that decision to go to therapy or to go to rehab, to go to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, to get a job, to get a GED, and to be able to begin rebuilding their lives. And through the programming and through the fun, they make a connection with someone, probably the only person in the firm community, who still cares about them and is willing to listen and give them another chance. On the young adult level, we have a 12-step sober community of over 250 young people from firm homes. Some as firm as you can imagine, and some as not firm as you can imagine. But they're all there together in recovery, trying to live another day sober. Many of them are married, many with mishpachas, and many of them daven in the same shuls as you and me. But you don't know they're in recovery. And then Baruch Hashem, we were zeicha November 1st to sign a lease in Muncie to open up the first nonprofit Jewish sober living home for when a young Jewish boy comes out of rehab, he has a transitional place to live. So that's how we operate. That's how we make a difference. Before I talk about the Learn-A-Thon, I want to tell you a story. I'm generally not dealing with the kids because I'm involved in fundraising, but we did an event for a whole bunch of Flatbush Gvirim who gave to the Maesed this summer. We did it in Manhattan at a restaurant, and a boy named Joe got up and shared his story. And I want to share Joe's story with you because that's the story that I heard this summer. And then we'll talk about the event. Joe was born into a chashava, for lack of a better word, rabbinic family in Brooklyn. He was born in Borough Park. His father was a magid shir in a yeshiva Torah Tamima. Many of you may have heard of it. And you can imagine all the trappings that come with being born into such a family where your father's a magid shir. It's a lot of kids, a lot of emphasis on ruchnius. And every Shabbos morning in Borough Park, Joe, or Yossi as he was known back then, would walk to his Bibi and Zadie's house. And his mother's younger brother, his uncle, was a single yeshiva guy in his early 20s. And every single Shabbos morning for 4 years, he would sexually abuse and molest this young boy, Yossi. And he told Yossi that if you ever share our secret with anyone, I'm going to kill you. And for 4 years, from the age of 5 to 9, this is how Yossi grew up. At the age of 9, Yossi senses this inner sense of relief because he finds out his family is moving from Borough Park to Flatbush, which in Brooklyn terms is like going to the other side of the tracks. And he moves to Flatbush, where his father's side of the family lives. And unbeknownst to him, he has a cousin who has the same proclivities and tendencies as his uncle back in Borough Park. And every time there's a yontif gathering or a family simcha, he continues to be molested and abused. And this goes on until his early teenage years. For close to 10 years of his formative existence, he endured tremendous abuse and psychological trauma. And again, he's warned, if you tell anyone, I'm going to kill you. And this is his secret. His parents loved him tremendously. He started acting out in school. They sent him to rebbeim and mashkichim, and they sent him to handwriting experts and therapists. No one could pry the secret out of Yossi. In 7th grade, after several years of acting out, he discovers his elixir. Anyone have a guess what that is? Someone whispered it, yeah? What's the first drug? Alcohol. Because at bar mitzvah parties, where the adults are making l'chaim, when they weren't looking, he would go and steal a bottle, share half with his class, he's now the class bartender, and take home half for himself. By the time he hits 8th grade, the yeshiva tells him, we don't really care what shtetl your father has in yeshiva, you need to find another high school. Some of you did one high school, two high schools, he did 5 high schools. Not bad.
Some of us did 5.
Okay. He did five high schools. In 11th grade, he's kicked out of yeshiva for stealing his Rosh Yeshiva's car keys from a yeshiva in South Jersey to go visit his non-Jewish girlfriend in Manhattan. He's using cocaine, he's using acid, he's using ecstasy, things I hope that if you saw them on the streets, you would not know what they are. By the time he gets to 12th grade, his parents makes a decision that Lo Aleinu we should never know from. They decide with a heavy heart, and Ad Hayom Hazeh, I'm putting in parentheses, Joe does not have any tainus against his parents for doing this. He understands why they did it. There were a lot of little kids at home, but they had to kick their own son out of their home. And he spends 12th grade homeless on the streets of Manhattan and Brooklyn, couch surfing from one party to the next. He goes to Eretz Yisrael after high school, like many kids do, because Israel solves all your problems. But he had no interest in Yiddishkeit. He had no interest in sitting through Seder or through Shir. But he had two reasons to go to Eretz Yisrael. Number one, his alcohol was legal. Number two, he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because his cousin and uncle were now an ocean away. And he didn't have to see them and face the pain. He still has not told anyone about his childhood secret. And he is still suffering tremendously inside. He spends his time in Israel partying, waking up for happy hour. That's his morning Seder. Drinking through the night. And either passed out in an alleyway near Yerushalayim, or he gets back to his dorms and his roommate tells him after a month, start sleeping on the mirpasek because we don't want to keep cleaning up your vomit. Finally, a wise Rebbe tells him, Joe, you don't belong in yeshiva, you belong in rehab. He goes to a rehab here in Eretz Yisrael, he gets better, time number one, and he goes back to America. His parents welcome him with tremendous ava. They were loving parents like you can't imagine. And they said, you're sober, you're clean, come back home. We don't care that you're not from, we don't care that you do totally dress, live, and everything like a guy. Come back home, we love you. It's amazing. He comes back home. For a year and a half on the outside, everything looks good. But inside, he's still in pain. He gets engaged to a girl, probably not the smartest decision. And it breaks off shortly thereafter. He goes into a spiraling depression, which he's in bed for 2 weeks and he relapses, so much for rehab in Israel, and he starts using again and it gets to the point he hasn't gotten out of bed in weeks. He takes a bottle of pills next to his bed and he downs the whole pill. No call to mommy, to tati, no text, no WhatsApp, no note. He's prepared to become another Jewish statistic and not to wake up another day. Now, another yeshivas, as some say, Joe got lucky. Try to say, Siyata Deshmaya. This would be the first of 8 times in the next 5 to 6 years that someone, whether a family member or a friend, caught Joe in either an intentional or unintentional near-death overdose experience. This time his mother, you can imagine a Heliger Rebbetzin finding her son OD'd in the bathtub. Flatbush Hatzalah becomes on speed dial, and he spends the next 5 or 6 years in and out of the psych ward in the detox center at Coney Island Hospital. After about 6 years, Joe makes another probably not so intelligent decision, and he gets married. The girl happened to have been Jewish, not by choice, but coincidentally. And they have a baby, and 2 weeks after the baby is born, he gets divorced, leaving this child and this mother. Everyone heard the term rock bottom? This is Joe's rock bottom moment. There's nowhere to go but up. His friends have given up on him. They don't believe there's a chance in the world he's going to live another day. His luck is going to run out, and Hatzalah is not going to get there in time. And a friend tells him, he says, you know what? There's a Chabad rehab in California, and that saved my life. Go there and try it. And Joe feels he has nothing to lose. No more wife, no more son, no more family. Everything's gone. And he goes there for 2 years. And I like to give the mashal, being sober, and being sober in rehab is ke'ilu, kind of like being really, really stark in yeshiva. The test is when you get out of yeshiva, can you take all those lessons that your rebbeim imparted into you, and then take them when you leave the cocoon of yeshiva. That's the challenge of rehab. So he spends 2 years in rehab, and he says, I got to be a responsible human being. I have a son back home, and I got to be a father and step up to the plate. And he comes back to New York, and what's he going to do? All his friends are druggies. They're all low lives. They're all bad influences. How's he going to stay sober once and for all? And that's where he joins. I told you we have a teen program, a young adult program, and a sober living home. He joins our young adult program, and this goes back about 10 years. He has sober Pesach. He has sober Purim. He has 2 12-step meetings every week, and every single person in those meetings is just like him. They grew up in a from home with all the trappings and all the pressures, and a clinical team who's in recovery themselves. And through every up and down that he goes through, he has someone to care for him, to love him, to give him dinner twice a week, and to create a real sense of community and give him the clinical care when he needs it. This past year, Joe celebrated 12 years of being sober. 2 years ago, he came to Eretz Yisrael to give chizuk on our annual mission to Anglos who are struggling with recovery in Eretz Yisrael. He turned to his wife this year. His wife is a cocaine addict. We met in the living room. It's an Arab place, Shidduch. They have a beautiful baby girl. They have a, what I would call, an almost kosher home with her pushing. They're really trying. And he turned to his wife this year and he said, I never thought I'd ever say this, but I want to make my own Pesach Seder. You can't imagine how far he was gone. Here he is living a meaningful, productive life, getting closer and closer to returning to his roots every year. And I can tell you that's for one reason. He has a community of people who understand him and are willing to let him grow at his pace and will give him the support with unconditional love every time he falls. A year and a half ago, when I think he was married 8 or 9 years, he had a total emotional relapse. He was so close to going back to drugs and alcohol. And we were zocha to raise a lot of money to send him to a special program in Florida, which we hope, once and for all, really took care of his childhood trauma, but specialized in that issue. That saved not just him, his wife, his kids. And every year when he celebrates another year, his father, the Rosh Yeshiva, his mother, the Rebbetzin, his brothers who live in Lakewood, they all drive in to come to the living room to celebrate with him his anniversary year after year after year. It's really mamish pikuach nefashos. This was not a crazy story. 70% of the kids who come through our doors have been abused emotionally, physically, or sexually. We're seeing hundreds of kids a year. And this is an opportunity through this event for you to be our partner. So let me explain to you what this event is. And I want to be makir tov first and foremost to the Rosh Yeshiva, who has been super available on the phone, usually after 1 a.m., over the past few weeks, and giving his guidance in Eitzah, as I've tried to put this together. I'm going to tell you how the event came about. The organization, Baruch Hashem, was zocha to raise a lot of money through the Jerusalem Marathon, through kids in the more modern schools. And one of the Shana Bet kids in a certain yeshiva, he turned to me, 100% rightfully so, and he says, I want to help the Maesed, but the Jerusalem Marathon is not a place for a bedtime. And he was 100% right. And I looked at him, and I said, I'm so proud of you. I said, but there's no halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says you can only raise money in the Zechus of Rani. I said, a person could raise money in the Zechus of Rani Torah. I said, why don't you get 5 guys in your yeshiva, stay up all night learning, and get people to sponsor you, ki'ilu, like you're running a marathon. But you're doing a learning marathon. You're learning for 8 hours straight. That boy took the initiative. And now we have 28 yeshivas participating, and we've taken out the main ballroom in the Ramada Hotel. Setting it up as a massive base medrash, and Mirza Shem will have 300 guys at least. Hopefully 25% from this yeshiva. Now, just shows the impact of what one person with a little bit of hashkafa and drive can accomplish to totally raise the level for so many other people. So what's the event going to be? And how do you raise money? And how does it work? I'm going to try to explain this in under 2 minutes. The evening, the fundraising piece is very simple. Each person who participates, they get their own page. This coming Thursday, I'll get to that in a minute, but we're going to have a registration party where you'll either sign up, the yeshiva will supply a computer, or you can call in to register, and you get your own fundraising page. And you can send that link via email or text message, if you have that. Do I have text message? No. To email, by email.
They have Asimon phones.
Not regular text?
Asimon phones, you know, you put Asimon in.
So you can send an email to your parents, to your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents back home, and they can sponsor directly to your link. No one's collecting any money, hard cash, or anything like that. And they're donating, and just like someone running a marathon, you're doing a learn-a-thon. People have heard of bike-a-thons, bowl-a-thons, swim-a-thons. Now we have a learn-a-thon. Here's how the program's going to work. At 11 o'clock, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita is going to be coming and speaking to everyone, one big base medrash of a few hundred guys. After about a half an hour, we're going to open up a massive fleishik buffet. I was at the Ramada today. The whole thing's going to be under the hashgacha of Rav Rubin. And we're going to have a massive, massive buffet, everything you can imagine. Steak, sushi, lamb, ribs, the whole nine yards. The buffet is going to go as late as it can in order for us to be milchiks in the morning. There's going to be different rebbeim from different yeshivas joining and giving chaburas and creating learning goals with their guys, whether it's a chazara goal or learn all of Hilchos Purim. I have different yeshivas doing different things. Guys who want to just learn the chavrusa is an option as well, as long as they're really shtagging and taking it seriously. People are sponsoring you. You have to keep your end of the commitment. And then the idea will be we'll have a tea room all night. Guys need a little extra fuel. We're going to daven nates. And then in the morning after Shacharis, we're going to have a big galaseum. Yosef Chaim Shweki is going to be in concert, singing, dancing. Rav Baron Shlita is going to be speaking to everyone, kind of as like the keynote to end the evening and to see him. It's going to be something about 7 in the morning. It's kind of like Shavuos and Adar. And then we're going to have a massive breakfast, you know, with pancakes, omelet stations, waffles, ice cream, the whole nine yards. The whole American hotel breakfast. We're giving away great swag. Reebok is sponsoring in honor of the Learn-a-thon. I'm not joking. Okay, they're sponsoring hoodie sweatshirts and sweatpants, the whole as well. And we've tried to make this very easy. There is a $360 minimum that you're committing to fundraise when you sign up, in addition to a $20 registration fee. I can tell you from doing the structure in the marathon for 5 years, it's really super easy for 98% of guys. There's 2 to 3 kids, 4 kids max at the end of every year that is, oh, I tried my best. I really put in 30 minutes of ishtadlus and I couldn't raise $360. The Rebbeinu Shlomo invented an amazing tool that makes bittul zman so much easier. It's called copy and paste. You can take the exact same email that we will send you when you sign up and just copy and paste and write, dear Uncle Shlomi, dear Aunt Sally, dear Bubby and Zadie, and take the same. We will provide you the email. Just copy and paste, email it out to 10, 15 people. You'll raise the money in a matter of one bein astar. So our hope is that everyone in yeshiva participates. I told our ambassadors, Eli and Shragi, that this Thursday, we're going to have a registration party, either in a classroom or wherever they designate. I'm going to sponsor pizza for everyone who registers this Thursday during lunch. We're going to do pizza, fries, the whole nine yards. And everyone will have an opportunity, either through a phone-in or through a yeshiva computer, to register. And from then on, all you'll need is email. That's the program in a nutshell. Like I said, our goal is that this yeshiva is our biggest yeshiva insofar as attendance, and that Amir Hashem, the majority of the guys should be able to participate. Okay. If anyone has any questions, speak to the ambassadors, and if you want to speak to me personally, they have my number. Thank you very much to the Rosh Yeshiva for the opportunity.
Okay, my friends, there's a few minutes remaining. I'd like to just do a little bit of the Chovetz Talmidim. We're here, the 10th Perek, and we were just speaking about the Yesod of Kol HaChatoim is a person is Hoylech Batal and a person doing not doing the right thing. And we're speaking about using the Midos that are inside of us. We find a Stira. On the one hand, you're telling me, I'm so great, I got all this amazing stuff inside of me. On the other hand, you're telling me I got all these problems. What is it? Is it this or that? Hein, heina, ha-midos, asher banu, page, pei, vav, piasetz nerebe. Sfirois, elyoinois, hein, chenim, shechu banu. We have the Sfirois elyoinois. From we said, we spoke about these, the Sfirois, what was the word we used for them? Luminaries? Is that someone got an English word for them? Yeah. Spheres, luminaries, these things. They're nimshach banu, those koichas of chesed, of ava, teferes, gevura, all those things are inside of us. The harbe harbe, yesh lehis oinein, al hechole koidesh. It's a lot a person should bemoan. Hechole koidesh asher nishchatu. That there's something went wrong, something went corrupt. There's a light of inside of us which has been wounded and injured. That ahava that Hashem has drawn from His sanctuary there in Shemaim to us. Vehu v'na'avdehu uba niya malachei elokim. With that ahava, we should love Hashem. We should serve Hashem. Anu margishim ahava l'shtusim. And people use that ahava for shtusim. It's the same ahava. He's saying we speak about a person as doing something wrong. It's not that there's anything wrong with him. It's just totally misdirected. And what we have to do is we just have to learn how to channel that in the right direction. And I want to thank Rabbi Young, because we've had this struggle for years where Bachram is saying, I really want to run in the marathon. I want to run in the marathon. I want to raise money for charity. I want to do it. I really have it. My heart's in the right place. Like, I really want to do this. And it's a struggle that sometimes people have. But when someone who stands to benefit a lot from people running the marathon can stand up and say, this is 100% not right. Bachram should not be doing this. This is not appropriate. So you want an excitement, you want to do something, you want there to be like a challenge. Oh, great, so let's make a learn-a-thon in the Ramada, and it'll be a geschmack, and we're going to have a good time. And we could take the same feeling, the same high that a person gets, the same thrill, and just channel it, not high. Wrong thing to say in front of it. The same thrill that you could get by doing something that's wrong, really, the right way for us to do that is by channeling it towards Avodas Hashem. Ubeminas Agvura Zu, Shinir Ehu. The Minas Agvura Hashem gave us that we should fear Him. V'nifachdehu, and we should have to tremble in front of Him. Yiras HaMalachim, like the Malachim, fear Hashem. We have this unhealthy fear. Kaas, anger, sinas chinom, hatred. There is something inside of us. And a person has to learn how to direct these types of feelings. I was talking with one of the Bachram tonight. There's crazy hatred for the Jewish people. Crazy going on. Really crazy going on out there. And for people that have little children, even though, you know, we're across the continent, it's still very hard. Kids are... They're struggling with this, it's senseless hatred. And it's happening every single day. On the news they said every single day of Hanukkah there was an anti-Semitic act in New York. Crazy. What is going on? So Bacha said to me, like, what do you take from this? And I am not a Navi or a Gol Hador, but I will tell you one thing which I believe I saw in Spain. The Ummah Sa'ilam will reflect us. In other words, if we have baseless hatred for each other, if we are fighting with each other, if we can't get along with each other, then the Ummah Sa'ilam will reflect that. Our behavior that we have inside of our Ummah will be somehow reflected from outside of the Ummah. And we have too much infighting. Too much. We're getting angry at each other, fighting with each other. Sinas chinam. We have to learn how to direct that in a positive way. There's this midah that we have, where a person can feel like there's a need for fear or to be concerned or whatever however you want to describe this emotion, should be used towards Hashem, not to try to like inflict it on someone else or to create distance between you and someone else. A person has distance from Hashem. That's Yirah Shamayim. It's called Yirah Shamayim because Hashem is far away from us. He is. He's in Shamayim. There's a distance. If we can learn to direct our emotions properly, the Ummah Sa'ilam will treat us. There's nothing to do with them, and we can make all of the. They can make all the conventions they want and speak about anti-Semitism and speak about this. Nothing's going to help. What's going to help is we have to fix things internally. Ourselves. We have all the right equipment. We just have to learn how to use it right. And that's what he's saying here. Ben Yakir, Kivan Shekvar Amarnu V'Kafalnu L'cha. We've already said and we've repeated. She'ikar HaMechanech Shelcha, the main Mechanech. Your Mechanech. Himcha Ato Be'atzmacha, is you yourself. You are your Mechanech. You are responsible for yourself. V'im Loisokum Ato, if you don't get up, L'kachas Esresen, take the reins, drive the bus. hamemshala, and take control of your life, biyadcha, in your hands, limshal alecha, to be in control, liyos kabarnet, you have to be the skipper, or what's the word for it, the person in charge of the boat, the
captain.
Huh?
Spotter?
Admiral. Okay, whatever the word is, kabarnet tasmina, the captain of the boat. Lanhiga, you have to give it direction. Who knows if you will not break and drown in the sea? Hazoyef! There's a storm that's out there. And this world full of gashmias, with people with all of their base desires. A person has to realize that he is in control of his life. There's a concept which is called empowerment. Empower people to realize that your life is in your hands. Don't rely on anyone and don't blame anyone. It's up to you. There's people that are there to give you advice, to try to give you some tips, to be an assistant. But he's not in control of your life. There's no one in control of your life other than you. And if you don't take the reins, so then you're drifting aimlessly. You could drift right into a storm, and then chas v'shalom, you could drown. All of your teachers, all of your rabbeim, lo yo'il cha'az, they will not be able to help you then. Chas v'shalom. Lochein, muchrachim anu lehishtadel lehavincha. We have to try to get you to understand. Dabar zeh yoiser, gam lefi daituchu v'shanoi secha. Even wherever you're holding, where you're at, your years, your age, your intelligence, you should understand. Ech af midoscha asher ata margish oisam lerois. There's some things that you have inside of you feeling that I've got this bad midah. I got these bad problems. You think they're bad? They're ma'oire e'or. They're really shining lights. Hino ba'atzmusan, they themselves. Usfiras el yoinos, they're coming from these luminaries from up high. Shenit stamsu, that they're coming to, they're like being reducing. Vinishtal shalu, and they're coming down in different forms. Becha, inside of you. Kidei. In order. Sheyokul l'chol l'saknam. It's easy for you to fix because you're not broken. A person realizes what your pure goodness, it's not coming out right. But there's nothing inside of you that's a problem. It's just we're not executing properly. We just have to get back to the way it was originally. That our natural state is a state of purity, is a state of holiness, is a state of goodness. We naturally like good things. A person says, what can I do? I like averus. That's not really true. And you have to understand that and believe that we like goodness. We've gotten stuck in bad habits. We've gotten involved in bad tendencies. It's no different than anyone else who's got addicted to, people are addicted to different types of narcotics. And certain people are addicted to averus. But that's not a natural state. A natural person doesn't want to be addicted to these things. And the happiest moment you could have is when you free yourself of it. Ki zehu reishis kol refuah. If you really want to get better, the first step is Lahakir, is to know. Es mikar hamachala, know the source of the illness. Motzieha umachavoyeha, to understand how it manifests itself, how to get rid of it, how to deal with it. The first thing is to know that inside there's something that is so pure and so special. And all we have to do is tap into it. You have to take control of your life. Believe in yourself. Believe in the goodness that's inside of you. If a person does that, Hashem gives us the tools to access all of that and to become better people. We'll continue with Hashem. Okay, one more announcement, my friends.
Everyone should have a little card. If you would like to be invited to the registration on Thursday, please fill it out. You don't even have to put your phone number and all that stuff. Just write your name and then check one of the bottom three boxes. please give it to either of the ambassadors, either to Ellie or Shragi, or you can give it to me quickly. Thank you.
The new input?
I have completed 9 hours of prayer.
Just name and last name and tell us.